Welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is the one and only Stacey Jo Rost, a.k.a. my sister and my friend, two separate people.
I did like that I clarified. It's just, it needed to be clarified, given what you know about me, that I was hanging out with at least two people.
Not the both of them. This whole hour is actually brought to you by Chef's Store. So, Stacey Jo Rost, before we get into this NFL player who doesn't want to take the COVID-19 vaccine, you and I got an email from a fan about a conversation that we had about 15 days ago.
Really?
Yeah, a heated conversation, a contentious conversation, a conversation that could literally rip this country in two. That conversation was whether or not Harry Potter should have ended up.
Wow. Yeah. So, this gets me fired up every time.
This young lady sent us an email, and she said she's 16 years old. She loves the show. And she sent us a very nice email that said that she was on our team when it came to Harry Potter marrying Hermione Granger. And so it was very, she said, we cover the news that matters the most. And I just wanted to give a shout out. to her and say, we got your email. Sorry we missed it 2 weeks ago, but thank you very much for writing into us. We appreciate it very much. Very, very sweet young lady who writes the show. And so I just wanted to give her a shout. She had very good arguments, by the way, as to why we were correct. So it wasn't just, oh, you guys are right, peace out. It was like backed up with data.
She was like, here's what I'm feeling right now. And you were like, yes.
Yes, I am. The news that matters the most on Cairo Nights. So
it is.
Speaking of Stacey Jo Rost, I kind of wanted to talk about this topic, but I also wanted to talk about it in a new kind of way. So just go down this rabbit hole with me.
Okay.
You heard about Cole Beasley last week. Correct? This has been in the news.
I did.
So he came out and he said, I'd rather die actually living in as it pertains to being vaccinated for COVID-19. He said, I refuse to get the vaccine. Which is fine, but the NFL as a company has rules which say we want you to adhere to these strict rules if you choose not to get vaccinated. We're not going to force you to do it, but these are the rules. And he goes on and he makes basically a non-argument, but he says, I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken. Said, I'd rather take my chances with COVID and build my immunity that way. Eat better, drink water, exercise, and do what I think is necessary to be a healthy individual. That's what he said in a statement. He said, I may die of COVID, but I'd rather die actually living. So my thought about it is, Stacey, as you know, if people don't want to get the vaccine, I don't think they should be required to get the vaccine. I think that that's silly.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, within that bracket of people, there are individuals out there who are not extremists. They're not anti-vaxxers. They're just regular people who say, you know what? It's still an experimental vaccine, technically. Yeah. Other people say, you know what? It's not even actually a vaccine. They're just hasn't been tested in the same way. It doesn't deserve the label of being a vaccine. So it's a little bit less kind of romantic, I think, than maybe I've made it out to be in the past, where people are going around saying, I'm not getting the vaccine because I don't want 5G. But in the case of Cole Beasley, my concern is that, and this is the rabbit hole that I kind of want to go down, he has a legitimate reason. I'm not interested in getting it. And for me, that's legitimate. But does his rhetoric supplement the rhetoric of people who are maybe on the fence or maybe people who are just unsure about it? Does that make sense? Like, there are people out there who might actually need to get it just based on their medical profile who don't get it because of people who come out and say, I'm not getting it.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how much influence Cole Beasley in particular has, but I do. shade. But I do. It is one of those things where it's kind of like an either side is annoying kind of thing.
Yes.
Like it is completely within someone's right to say, hey, you know what? I don't feel comfortable getting it. And it's like, all right, like, I'm not going to force you to do something you don't feel comfortable with. I, full, you know, transparency, I got the vaccine. But even as I was getting it, and I'm someone that's like, yeah, you know, like, vaccines here, you know, like, let's get as many people vaccinated as we can to make sure we can get back to normal.
Right.
Even as I was getting it before I got the first dose, I was like a little, because I'm kind of a scaredy cat anyways, I was like a little bit nervous and then got it and was like, well, can't turn back now. But like, so the fact that even I, while telling myself I was all in, was nervous, I can only imagine how someone feels who is not all in, is still very nervous before they actually go get it. And so I think that what this is someone who falls into a category, not being comfortable getting it, that's completely fair, but then also takes it to an extreme that is equally as annoying as someone telling someone that you need to absolutely do this, or if not, you're an idiot. Like, it's like you're complaining about something that, like, is an option for you. You are signed up, you know, your job is playing for a league that, like, these are our rules. These are our office rules for the league.
Right.
You don't have to do it. Like, you could retire if you don't want to. Instead, he's not retiring. He's saying, I would rather retire than do this, which is really just complaining. Like, it's not actually you doing anything and saying, okay, well, I don't feel comfortable, then I'm going to retire. Instead, you're like, you know, yelling from the mountaintops how unfair this is. Like, it is a privileged job, just like any job, really, that, like, you know, you don't have to follow the rules. But if you don't want to follow the rules, then, like, find something else, because they are trying to find a way where they don't put either, you know, whether they're coaches or vulnerable populations at risk. They're trying to find a way where they can have fans back in the stands and where they can all get everyone back in the facility working in a place where people are coming into close contact. So, you know, no matter what, like, it's either the way they were doing it last year was like regular testing, like daily or every other day. And so I'm sure players are really, the ones that are vaccinated are probably like, great, I want to get to a place where I don't want to have to test every single day, which means that people who are not vaccinated, you know, may have to do things a little differently. And again, it's like, I just don't like the idea of like grandstanding. I don't know what it is that he's doing. It feels excessive. It feels very in your face. Yeah. And I also am just not the biggest Cole Beasley fan. And so I'm like blatantly biased right now, but I'm over it. I'm just over it.
So I've got two thoughts here. And one of them goes like this. It's kind of unrelated, but someone like Bill Belichick, someone like Rex Harrison, someone like Andy Reid, these guys are ripe candidates for COVID-19 just based on the data.
Right.
They are each of them overweight. They are each of them over the age of 60 years old. They are each of them likely diabetic and or pre-diabetic. I would imagine that the league takes that into consideration. And I'm sure that there are other people on coaching staff who fit into the same bracket. Now, my other thought is basically like this. I'm a big free market kind of guy, which basically goes like this. You don't like the way that you're being treated at your job. You're unwilling to put up with those circumstances anymore. Guess what? There's lots of other employers out there that will treat you better if you go and seek them out. Now, some people think that that's unfair. And in some ways, it has its faults, right? That kind of ideology, that kind of thinking. And I'll address that at some point in time in the future. But what I have noticed is that people who agree with me on free markets and, you know, the interplay between you and your employer, when it comes to wages, like minimum wage, and they say, we need to get rid of the minimum wage, you go, okay. And then they say, we need to get rid of affirmative action because it benefits some people over other people's. And you go, okay. And then you say, well, this business wants everybody to get vaccines. And they go, you can't force somebody to get a vaccine. What do you mean? And so they immediately drop their principles, immediately drop them when it goes against what they pretend. And I will use that word really strongly. The things that they pretend to believe in. And so they go from being free market conservatives to then saying, wait a minute, we need to protect this minority group of people who don't want to get vaccinated for their own individual free. You know, they begin to engage in the language that they pretend to hate. So this is the rabbit hole that I wanted to go down, Stacey, is that it's hypocritical in so many ways.
It is hypocritical. And as a side note, it's just like a really weird type of logical argument in general, like a lot of logical fallacies to it. This idea that, like you said earlier, the idea of like, oh, I wouldn't take medicine for a leg that isn't broken. And the idea that like, well, it's God's plan. If I get COVID and die, then I die.
Yeah.
First of all, part of the problem with COVID isn't that you, a 32-year-old, presumably very healthy man, will get COVID and die. It's that COVID is incredibly contagious and that you may give it to someone else who then gives it to someone else who dies and who would have otherwise avoided that if, you know, we had like safer precautions or whatever. And secondly, like the idea that like, you know, that it just has to be God's plan. Like, we've created other vaccines. Are you saying that, like, we should go to where, like, smallpox is God's plan? So, like, we shouldn't vaccinate against, like, measles or anything anymore because it's like, well, it's God's plan. I mean, God invented this virus and he wanted us to die from it. No, no. The idea is that this is an option for you and you don't have to go out and shame people who decide to get it. And most importantly, like, you need to be aware, Cole Beasley, of how your decision that you're making may be affecting, you know, like other people. Like, you just, it's, I hate the logic, but getting back to your other argument with you saying, so you're saying, Jack, that there are kind of like logical fallacies that people have in general.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that just a little more? Because I need to get back into this part that matters.
Yeah. So the it is.
I'm so mad at Cole Beasley.
If you consider yourself to be kind of a free market individual and you consider the relationship between the employer and the employee to be that of negotiation, if my employer requests and they say, hey, Jack, I want you to saw off your feet and replace them with hands, I would say, no, thank you. I'll go get another job. Right now, some people would say that that's ridiculous, but I feel like that's the level of ridiculous that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
The NFL has said, Cole Beasley, you do not have to get vaccinated if you do not want to be. And he goes, okay, great. And they say, as a level of precaution, this is what we are asking you to do if you want to work for this company. And he goes, I'd rather retire than have these restrictions on my life. And people are backing him up on the internet. I'm looking at the comment thread right now underneath this story, and people are saying, I can't believe this is a true patriot. No company should force somebody to do something they don't want to do. I agree with you. However, you can't then go to the NFL and impose that on them because now you are going against what you said about minimum wage and affirmative action and all that other kind of stuff. It makes no sense.
Yeah, completely agree with you on all of that. The idea that, like, if you're saying that the middle ground, the way to approach it is to say, okay, if you don't want to do that, then here's what you can do.
Right.
And what he's trying to do is say, is to basically impose his will and to say, like, I don't want to do what you want me to do. Here's what you should be doing. And like, I'm going to shame you and put you on blast for not doing it this way. And it's like, look, part of having the very complex society we do, where we try to allow as many different types of people to grow and prosper as possible, is that there's going to be a lot of middle ground with a lot of stuff. Like, just in order to have a society that functions where there are lots of ideas that are welcome, you have to have middle ground places. And trying to, I don't know if shame a company is the word, since like, you can't shame the NFL. They're going to be like, whatever, we're worth a bajillion dollars.
Yep.
We don't care.
Yeah.
But trying to say that it is fundamentally wrong for them to require a middle ground, it doesn't do anything except for hurt your own argument, which, like, you're trying to say, I don't want to do things your way. And they're saying, cool, right on. Like, here's what we're proposing then. And it's just, I feel like the only way that Cole Beasley, it seems, or people with this mentality would see it as a win is for the league to adopt their mindset that there are no precautions whatsoever taken.
Yeah.
But then that ignores the desires and the whatever for other people that don't think the same way he does. Like, then there's no middle ground at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
Him thinking that completely hands off is a middle ground is wrong, because that's not actually the middle ground.
Yeah, and I would like to say this as well, Stacey, that so people have been, we've been talking about the vaccines a lot because it's kind of what is in the news cycle. You know, it's, everything's kind of wrapping up with the vaccines. Some people are getting it, some people are not. But there is a kind of alarming trend where if I go to somebody and I say, hey, you know, Dr. Z is going to come on and we're going to talk about vaccines, people have been doing this thing where they have been saying, to Dr. Z that that is propaganda, that in his medical opinion as an MD PhD coming on my radio program, that he is propagandizing the idea. If I haven't said it a million times, I'll say it again. Dr. Z has always maintained, if you don't want to get it, don't get it. He said that every single time. The argument that he makes every single time is, we live in a community setting. This virus spreads really fast. It would be my recommendation that people go and get it. He cannot, by law, give legal or give medical advice over the radio. And yet people still say, this guy's over here propaganda. This guy's over here propagandizing this idea. He's not propagandizing a single thing. Propaganda would him be coming on and saying, as of MD, PhD, my medical advice to all of the listeners right now is to immediately run out and get the vaccine. He's never said that once. Mm-hmm. And so people are now taking it, as you pointed out earlier, they are taking it to the most extreme angle that they possibly can. Where even hearing somebody come on and say, hey, you know what, I think it's a good idea to get the vaccine, is offensive. And that's the kind of new world that we live in. And I'm not sure... I'm not sure how to bridge the gap, if that makes sense. I don't know how to go to somebody and say, I have on my friend Ashley, who's very anti-vax. I have on Dr. Z, who's very pro-vax. Which of those is part of the propaganda matrix? Like, you tell me which one of those is part of the propaganda matrix that I have on Cairo Nights.
It's also just really tricky because it is, unfortunately, something that is so politicized. What I wish it was is just like, I don't feel comfortable getting it. Cool, you don't have to.
Right.
And instead it's, if you get it, you're a bad person.
Right.
And if you don't get it, you're a bad person. Like, depending on where you fall in line. And it's a bummer because then you can't have any kind of conversation about it whatsoever. And I think that there is a kind of intolerance for any kind of conversation when it isn't something someone wholly agrees with, and it just so happens that it has to be polarized no matter what. Like, saying what to us seems like the most logical thing, which is what Dr. Z is saying, hey, you know, I personally got it and felt comfortable with it. I understand people don't.
Right.
It's like the most benign statement someone could make.
Exactly.
And instead, it's seen as that being kind of extremist, and that being, and I don't know if that's a byproduct of the way that politics has become, where no matter what, people are on two extremes. And even the most benign answer and the most innocent middle ground take is a political one when it shouldn't be. I don't know if that's just the way politics are or if it's the way that, like, this issue in particular is, but it is so frustrating to even talk about, like, a random thing that comes up where we say, hey, T-Mobile opening up the park, they're still going to have vaccinated seating and unvaccinated, here's the info you need, and people freak out and act like, and this is incredibly offensive to me, but I still see people making the argument about, like, oh, is this like the Holocaust and segregation, and you're like, don't even start to make those comparisons. It's disgusting that you would even go there. And while I see why you might feel targeted for some reason if you aren't vaccinated, these are not the same thing. And it's just, I hate the, like, lackadaisical way we as people are just throwing around these comparisons for something that isn't nearly as horrific. And this is getting into, like, another thing, but I what I'm saying, Jack, is I would imagine that the conversations that you're having on your air with different people about their different ideas about the vaccine, no matter what you're saying, evokes, like, really strong responses from people.
Yeah.
Or provokes.
Yeah. Stacey, I think you put that about as good as anybody could put it. We actually have to get out of here because Shane is giving me the evil eye through my...
Shane. He always does that.
So we'll take a really quick break. Stacey Jo Ross, thank you again for coming on and going deep inside of my mind. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. So over the weekend, there was a big to-do about a bunch of Catholic bishops who got together, and they said, hey, listen, It is one of the core fundamental tenets of Catholicism that we reject the sin of abortion, and so we need to vote as to whether or not we can give Holy Communion, the Eucharist, I believe. I don't know. I'm not Catholic. This is, we need to establish whether or not we can give Holy Communion to politicians who are Catholic who also support abortion. And so there was a big to-do about it, and everybody was talking about it in the news. And so they voted to kind of go ahead and review whether or not to deny communion to pro-choice Catholic politicians like Joe Biden. And Meghan McCain on The View came out, and they were talking about it. Whoopi Goldberg talked about it. That other lady, Sonny, was talking about it. And then Meghan McCain, intellectual titan, came out. And she had this very fine take, which I think we should all pay very close attention to. This is what Meghan McCain had to say on it.
Everybody's spiritual journey and relationship with God and their church is their own personal journey. And I don't try and proselytize my spirituality on other people. But if you are a devout Catholic, as President Biden claims to be, abortion is a cardinal sin that can do deep spiritual harm to you. And President Biden had been supportive of the Hyde Amendment up until 2019 when he decided to run for president. And the Hyde Amendment means that the government would provide federal funding for abortion or wouldn't. And now he is for it. And he has shown in this upcoming budget that he is for it. And I think that sort of has been the threshold. I remember when it happened, having a conversation with a friend of mine who was close to him saying, for me, this is a deep paradigm shift for how I view President Biden. Because if he's for the federal funding of abortion, and I know the women on this show disagree with me, but as far as I'm concerned, abortion is murder. And that means the government funding of killing of the unborn. And we have to, as pro-lifers, fight for the rights of the unborn. And that is a doctrine that's as old as the Catholic Church itself. So he has to choose, if his official stance, by the way, is he's politically opposed or personally opposed to abortion, but doesn't feel that he had the right to impose this view on the rest of the country. And it just, for someone who claims to be pro-life, I never understand this argument. It's like saying, I'm personally opposed to murder, but if you want to murder a little bit, it's fine because it's not my problem. It doesn't register with me. I don't get it. So it's ultimately up to the church, but he's walking a very fine line here. And ultimately, all of these issues are literally life and death for Catholics, for devout Christians. And he's going to have to ultimately talk to his creator when the time comes, as we all do, and reconcile his politics with his personal faith.
Meghan McCain is exactly right about this. I heard somebody on Fridays, a radio guy, and he came on a show and he said, hey, what we need to do as Republicans, this guy claimed to be a Republican or he claimed to be a right winger. And he said, what we need to do is we just need to accept that abortion is a thing now and we need to move on from it and we can still be pro-life, but we need to stop fighting and da 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 da. And it was a complete and total, I was like, you know, dude, you don't even actually sound like a right winger. You don't even sound like a member of the GOP. You sound like a Democrat, man. I mean, if you're going to be doing abortion apologia on your radio show. But what I found so fascinating about it is that there are people out there that will tell you this kind of stuff where they will come out and they will tell you that if you are pro-life, to basically drop it. For one reason or another, they might come to you and they might say, well, you know, Joe Biden, I mean, separation of church and state, Joe Biden personally might be Catholic, but yada, yada, yada. That's not the point. The point is that Joe Biden, in supporting the whole Hyde Amendment thing, in saying that you can take taxpayer dollars and dump them into Planned Parenthood or wherever he wants to put them to fund abortions or to fund abortions in Mexico City, as the Biden administration is currently doing, if you choose to be on the side of that, you cannot walk around and say that you are pro-life. You have voided that stance. So as much as Joe Biden might like to say, oh, I'm certainly very pro-life, you know, my faith is a very complicated thing, separation of church and state. Okay, well then don't claim to be pro-life. It's fine if you don't want to be pro-life. Fine, go. There's lots of other people that are not. There are many people out there that are pro-choice, but don't prostitute and pervert the idea of being pro-life in order to fit into a fun little bracket. If you are a practicing Catholic, understand that under the tenets of that fun little religion, that that is what you have to subscribe to. I get really tired of the kind of ambivalence that I see from politicians when it comes to life and being pro-life. It's really, really exhausting. Because they'll talk a big game. Joe Biden, many years ago, talked a big old game about being, you know, I believe fundamentally that life begins at conception. I have a deep religious belief and blah, 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 blah. And look what he's done with it. Look what he's done with it. And I feel the same way about Joe Biden as I do about that radio host who came out a couple days ago and said, hey, everybody, if you're a member of the GOP, you just got to get off of the whole abortion thing so we can actually get somebody into office who represents our interests. Well, guess what our interests are, my man? Guess what our interests are? By telling me to no longer have a pro-life stance just so I can have better taxes for local businesses, what are you trying to say? That I sacrifice unborn children so that I get lower tax rates? Yeah, no thank you. No thank you with that garbage. And this is why it's so offensive. You know, you have to understand, take it from the perspective of someone who's pro-life. It is offensive to us that someone would say, oh yeah, I'm deeply, you know, pro-life, but I just feel like, you know, the state shouldn't get involved. It is offensive to us to say, oh yeah, you guys just need to get off the whole life thing because we really need to get a member of the GOP into office. No, thank you. We'll skip that because we're principled. We'll skip that whole song and dance. We don't, yeah, no thanks. And I'll say this, I'll add this onto it as well. If you are kind of pro-choice out there, I want to have the conversation with you. I want to be able to talk about it, and I want to be able to debate about it, and I want it to be respectful, and I want it to be kind, and I want it to be friendly. But what I do not want is this whole kind of thing that we see where we begin to make excuses for politicians just because they say one thing and then they actually do another, right? Which is actually the definition of politics. But more importantly, I don't want to do this thing where we go around and we make excuses for politicians and say, well, you know, deeply religious individual, but they understand the separation of church and state. Well, then no. No, thank you. Let's just call it what it is. Joe Biden is pro-choice. He does not care about Holy Communion. He does not care about his faith. And I think that Meghan McCain is exactly right about this. He is going to have to answer for that at some point in time in his life, because no one will actually put his feet to the fire now. Of course, nobody's going to do that. But if you do consider yourself to be a religious individual, understand that that is what you subscribe to. And it is disingenuous to walk around and pretend otherwise. Those are the rules of the game that you wanted to play. And so be like us and just play by the rules instead of trying to win bonus points from people by walking around and saying, well, you know, it's a separation of church and state. Blah, blah, blah. No, thank you. We are not interested in it. Take a really quick break. When we get back, we're going to wrap all this up with Shane. We'll be right back after this. All right, so Shane, when you throw your back out, you need to realize that the one thing that you don't want to do, you don't want to sit, because then all the pressure is on your back, right? So for those of you who asked, I was running today, and I ran a little bit too fast, and I pulled the muscle in my back, and it's excruciatingly painful. It's unbelievably painful. As a matter of fact, as I have pointed out previously, it is almost unbearable. And the last thing that I want to do is to sit in my office chair and sit upright so that I can breathe and do my radio program. But you know what I do, Shane? I show up because I am a hero. And you know what heroes do, Shane? When they get called to do their job, they show up and they say to themselves, you know what? My back may be in excruciating pain, Shane. My physical being, my corporeal body may be falling apart with every moment that passes. But what's important is that I'm here to deliver quality, local radio to the people, Shane. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the people and me and you. You see what I'm saying, Shane? This is about a community of people, including myself and you, coming together to say, you know, it doesn't matter how much pain you're in, you're still going to be doing radio for the masses, Shane Peterson. For the masses. So what's on my mind... What's on my mind is that it's amazing what a human being can do when they are in excruciating pain, Shane, such as myself, that with no co-host, that with no producer, that I'm able to throw together, with the help of Shane Peterson, let's not take that away, with the help of Shane Peterson, that I'm able to throw together a 3-hour radio program and get through it to the best of my ability, and everyone should thank me for being a true master of my craft, Shane, a true master, someone with the ability to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to push through it all, I'm going to show up for Shane, I'm going to show up for the audience, and I'm going to get it done. So Shane Peterson, what's on your mind, boss?
The only thing that's on my mind is I'm just still reliving this weekend over and over again in my head. I had just the best weekend I've had in such a long time, and it was great. I got to go see the Mariners play first ever ball game at T-Mobile Park. I got to see a grand slam, and I got to see a walk-off win in the 10th inning. It was an absolute blast. And then I got to go see my buddy play professional rugby on Saturday. He scored. It was a close game. I got to go have dinner with them after. I just had a whole weekend of seeing friends and catching up, and I just wish it didn't end. You know, when Monday rolls around, I understand why some people really get the Monday blues. I mean, I always like showing up here. I get excited about my job and, you know, starting a new week. But I woke up today and I was like, I didn't want to wake up to Monday. I wanted to go back to sleep and wake up another day, because weekend was just so much fun, man. I just had such a ball, and you know, it hurt the wallet a bit too. Those beers are expensive at AT&T Park, let me tell you.
Shane, why you got to kick me while I'm down? Why you got to kick me while I'm down?
Why? What do you mean kick you while you're down? What do you mean?
I'm in terrible excruciating pain. Terrible excruciating pain, and you come on Cairo Nights as the producer / board op for Cairo Nights, and you brag to me in my face. You brag and you say, I had this great weekend. I went out with my buds and I didn't even want to come to work today. And now, Shane, you're making my mental pain the equivalent to my physical pain. Do you see what you're doing to me?
Well, I thought the segment was what's on your mind, and that's what's on my mind. I could have told you a whole other plethora of stories, but I figured that, you know, I got to be honest with the people out here, Jack. I got to tell them really what's going on inside this weird head of mine.
Yeah, but I mean, more specifically, it's that you don't think that maybe you could have said, oh, yeah, and then I stubbed my toe and I was in a lot of pain. And then I would have been like, dude, me too. My back hurts really bad. That would have been like a bonding moment between the two of us.
If it does make you feel a little bit better, I have a bruise on the side of my face that I don't know how I got, but I'm pretty sure I got it the Mariners got their winning walk-off. There was a lot of jumping around, maybe caught a couple elbows or two, but I was all feeling myself. I was with the M's. I was one with the ball club. So I was
Someone was throwing elbows in the.
Well, there was a lot of arms flying up in the air. There was a lot of let's goes yelled out, Jack. Yeah. There was a whole lot of let's goes. So there was a lot of goes out there. And that was a good old time. I let out a couple myself.
Yeah, a little bit of a let's go.
Yeah.
I've never understood that phrase, Shane. I guess that makes me like a late stage millennial, but I've never understand. Like, you complete the task, you do the thing, and then you yell, let's go, but you have already gone. You see what I'm saying? You've already finished what you set out to do.
Well, it means it just says let's go because you're on to the next. You're on to the next best great thing, Jack. You're just on one. You're on to the next.
See, but
so let's go.
Why isn't the phrase then on to the next? Why is it let's go? Because you see what I'm saying? I don't feel like it's grammatically correct.
It's not grammatically correct, but it still works. You know, there are some things that definitely aren't correct, but they still slide, man.
Yeah, there you go. So on that note, Shane Peterson, thank you so much for sticking with us throughout the entire show. I appreciate it very much. We will be back tomorrow. So stick around for another 21 hours. Don't go anywhere. Don't move. Don't breathe. Don't get up to eat, because we're going to be right back. You don't want to see what you're going to be missing. For Lisa Brooks and for Shane Peterson, I wish everyone a very good night, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye.